service, whether you're sitting here with us today, or you're at Littlewood Court, or you're watching on Ketchup, good morning and welcome. We'll begin with a few intimation announcements. If you've heard, it's Christian Aid Sunday today, and as of yesterday, we did the Christian Aid Walk, which Helen will come to tell us a little bit about in just a second. But I was sponsored to climb Loch Nagar yesterday, which we tried very valiantly to do, but the weather did not want to cooperate like normal, so we're gonna climb tomorrow instead. So don't worry, those of you who sponsored me, it will happen, it's just happening tomorrow instead. And Helen will tell us a bit more about Christian Aid.
Morning. So yesterday was the jog walk. We had a beautiful day, thank the Lord for the weather. And so far, we have a total of almost £550 from the jog walk. As Kylie mentioned, she's still to climb Loch Nagar, so you can still sponsor her if you haven't, and her form is out in the vestibule. So please feel free to autograph it on the way out. That would be wonderful. Thank you. Yesterday afternoon was the Christian Aid Spring Fling, which raised an amazing total of £463. So doing really well so far. Our final thing is next Saturday, we have the Christian Aid Sales Table. So it's in the church centre from 10 o'clock till 2 o'clock. We're looking for donations to sell at the church table. Anything that you would find in a garden centre would be lovely. Plants, home bakes, homemade sweeties, anything like that, that would be fantastic. The centres will be open just for the church donation drop-off between 7 and 7.30 next Friday. So if you can manage to drop it off then, that's wonderful. If not, you can drop it off on the Saturday morning. Or if you would be struggling with those times, please speak to me and we'll arrange a pickup at some other time. We've got the silent auction also happening at the sales table day. I hope you had a look at the painting by Ian as you came in. If not, please make sure you have a wee look at it on the way out. There'll be a few other things up for a silent auction there. So that's next Saturday. Please come along and browse. Have a coffee or lunch in Loaves and Fishes. But best of all, please, please tell your friends about it. Or even better, please bring them along. Thanks.
Thank you, Helen. On excuse me, June 2nd, which happens to be my last Sunday here, we will be having a... Thank you. We'll be having a shared lunch, actually a shared supper at 5 p.m. To say goodbye to me and to welcome David, who is the year-long fellow who will be coming in for this following year. So please come along. It will be a great time of seeing everybody once again. Shirley will be taking names next Sunday. So please do come along. I would love to see you before I head back to the States. Men's group, the April meeting proceeds of £135 will be donated to Guide Dogs for the Blind. So thank you for everybody who came and donated to this most worthy cause. Loaves and Fishes, like usual, is still looking for volunteers. If you have some time, even a few hours in your week, I'm sure Suzanne would love if you volunteered some time at Loaves and Fishes. I work there Tuesday mornings. It's very fun. You also get a tea or a coffee when you're working, which is a nice addition. But let us begin our worship service this morning with our first song, Breathe on Me, Breath of God.
Breathe on me, breath of God.
Till this earthly bark of Let us bring our time of worship to God. Let us all pray. Lord, we praise you for this wonderful earth. We praise you for the wonderful beauty, the wonderful magnificence of wildlife, of the sea, the sky, the mountains, everything we see. When you created them, they were very good. And thank you for creating us in your image, to also be creators, to actually enjoy artistic things, to enjoy beautiful things, to enjoy fellowship together. And thank you that we can come together to worship you, the true creator. We thank you that we come to you, our Redeemer. And we thank you for the freedom to be able to meet together. Forgive us for when we forget you. Forgive us for when we neglect to meet together, when we neglect to make the most of the opportunities that we have to be your church and to be your people in this community here. Lord, we pray for those around the world who can't meet because of fear of persecution, because they're in prison, all sorts of reasons that inhibit them from meeting together. We ask that you'll be especially close to them today, and may they know that they're not forgotten, either by you or by their fellow believers in other parts of the world who are praying for them. And Lord, we ask that you'll be amongst us today. May our worship to you be honouring, and may it glorify your name. And thank you that we can bring our talents to you. We thank you for the gifts of our wealth, and that we can actually share that too. And we pray that you'll bless the offerings that we've brought to you today and through our stewardship scheme as well. And Lord, we thank you for being able to come to you so freely in prayer, and that you have asked us to come to you at all times, and you've made us welcome. And we thank you for the prayer that Jesus taught us, saying together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is kingdom, the power and the glory forever. Amen.
With joy we look towards a new morning as we sing the words, Morning has broken.
Peace for the sea.
to come sit with me up on the steps. Perfect. Okay, Lewis, Josh, were you going to sit on that side? Perfect. What does this big thing I have in my hands, what does it look like to you? Yes?
A glass window,
exactly. And do we have something that looks like this in the church? Yes. Right there, exactly. And I wonder, if we look at that window behind us, do we see any of the pictures? Do we know what they are already? Do we see anything familiar? Yep. Yes, we see Jesus in a lot of those different panes, don't we? A lot of those different windows. And I wonder, way up at the top, do you see any animals in the windows? A sheep, yes. Yes, Lewis? A bird that looks like it has horns, exactly. That's a pelican. Have you guys ever seen a pelican before? It's a bird on TV, exactly. And below the pelican, the little baby pelicans are all there. Do you see that? It's really far away. Yeah, so there's a pelican, there's a sheep. What about some of the pictures down below? The one on the left over here. Do you see what that picture might be? Yes? Yep, Mary and Joseph and baby Jesus, exactly. And I wonder, do you see, how about the one in the middle? Do you see the picture in the middle, but maybe up on the top? That one might be a little bit harder. Do we know what that might be? You see the dove above it, and then there looks like there's water below those two people. What do we usually do with water in the church? We pour it on some babies' heads, exactly. And when we pour water on babies' heads, do you know what that does? Do you know what the big word that starts with a B? We baptize them, yes. And that's a picture of Jesus' baptism. So a lot of these window panes are telling us some of the most important stories in Jesus' life. There's him teaching. There is him healing people. There is him with his flag when he's reigning victorious, which basically means he's won a big battle. And then, do you see the four panes where it says Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John? Kind of in the middle. Do we know who those four people are? Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John? Kind of another big word. Do you guys know what disciples means? Yeah, what does that mean? Followers of Jesus. Exactly. And Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are also the four disciples that wrote four different books in the Bible. They're called the Gospels, right? And so for the next 3 weeks and this week, so 4 weeks total, we're going to be going over the windows and the pictures that are in the windows, trying to see what is God teaching us in the windows, in the pictures and stories that are there. And you guys also get to create a pretty cool art project with this. This is tissue paper that's been cut up by Jill Nemo, who is one of the moms in the church. And what you do is you peel away the white paper in the panes, and then you get to create your own window pane with the tissue paper. And at the end, you guys are going to have created a beautiful window that when the light streams through is going to show all sorts of different colors in front of it. So you guys get to create a big art project too. And so part of this is showing us that art can glorify or praise God. So you guys get to help us make some art projects to go in the church. Does that sound fun? And like you can do that? Perfect, exactly. Can one of you be in charge of taking this into the explorer's room when you go over there? Yes, can you three make sure it makes it back there? Perfect, thank you. And before you guys go over there, can we all pray together as we continue the service? Can you guys repeat after me when I say something? All right. Dear Lord,
dear Lord,
Thank you for giving us art. Help us to learn what you are teaching us in these stories in the windows. And thank you for loving us. Amen. Perfect. Thank you very much for sitting up here with me. Can you guys take this back to your seat and then take it to the Explorer's Room for me? Thank you very much. You want to go sit back with your parents now? Excellent. Thank you. And before they head back into their room to start their art project, we're going to be singing one of my favorite songs because it gets you up and it gets you moving. We are marching.
Two readings this morning. The first, Genesis 2, chapter 2, verses 1 to 3, on page 4. Thus the heavens and the earth were completed in all their vast array. By the seventh day, God had finished the work he was doing, so on the seventh day he rested from all his work. And God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it he rested from all the work of creating that he had done. The next reading is in Mark 1, verses 35 to 39. Jesus prays in a solitary place. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Simon and his companions went to look for him, and when they found him, they exclaimed, "Everyone is looking for you." Jesus replied, "Let us go somewhere else, to the nearby villages, so that I can preach there also. That is why I have come." So he traveled throughout Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and driving out demons. Lord, bless this reading from his word.
I first heard this next song at the Christian Aid Gathering in Aberdeen when Leslie and Emma and I went, and it has quickly become one of my favorite songs, and I don't think we've actually sung it in the church before. So if you will all stand, we have some, oh good, you know it then. So let us stand and sing, "I, the Lord of Sea and Sky."
I have heard my people cry, "Oh,
Let us bow our heads in prayer before our teaching time. Lord, thank you for gathering us together today. May you open our eyes, our hearts, and our minds as we learn more about you and who we are called to be. Amen. God is an artist. Have we ever thought of him this way? We read in Genesis 1, of God creating the world in all its vast array of beauty. He lights up the skies with bright explosions of color. He sets the waves to their powerful rushing and quiet lulling. He runs his hands along the earth, creating deep valleys and jagged peaks, flat expanses and towering mountains. And then he fills that earth with wild tangles of vegetation, some wacky and wonderful, some useful and healing. He fills the seas with creatures whose colors and shapes go beyond our wildest imaginations. He covers the land with giant elephants, strange-looking platypuses, birds that soar above our heads, and then he takes a handful of dirt and he rubs it around in the palm of his hand, felt its richness and its vitality, and he breathes onto it, animating it and bringing it to life as humanity takes its shape. No feature of ours was unknown to God. no process too small to not attend to. Do we see the imagination and creativity of God in his creation? A mind and a being that thought up and formed every feature of the natural world, hands that even formed you and me. God is a creator. And I wonder if we can get the PowerPoint presentation up. If not, that's okay. Ah, here we go. Excellent. God is a gardener. He sinks his hand into the dirt and he draws forth life. With whimsy and more imagination, he creates the Garden of Eden. And when we fail to be faithful, he creates the redeemed garden spoken of in Revelation, the garden that he welcomes us into as a redeemed people. God is also a potter. He takes the most basic material, dirt, clay, and shapes it and forms it into something beautiful. Jeremiah 18 tells the story of a potter shaping a pot that quickly becomes misshapen and broken. But instead of giving up, the potter reforms the clay, working it again, building it up into something useful. And then God says, "Don't you see, O Israel, my people? I can do the same thing with you. You are like the clay in the potter's hands, and I am the potter." God's also the Good Shepherd, which is an image that's very easy for us in the northeast of Scotland to conjure up. Driving over towards Ballater yesterday, we passed hundreds of fields with lambs. And while today the job of shepherd isn't quite as common, we still know what that job looks like. God doesn't just create his masterpiece with its creation and then leave. He cares about what happens once it's created. He is intimately tied up with his creation, shepherding it along, pulling us back when we seem dead set on ruining it. So God himself is this artist using creativity and imagination. So it's no wonder that we call him the creator. Being an artist means you create. But God the Father isn't the only divine artist. Jesus doesn't shy away from creativity. When Jesus teaches, does he stand in front of the people and deliver a long, monotonous monologue spoken in highfalutin language to deliver a point? No. He actively seeks out creative ways to present a message. He sees what the land and the people have to offer and uses them as symbols. We might remember in Matthew when he says, "The kingdom of God is like a mustard seed," something the people knew about. Even in this picture, we remember the story of how Jesus, when he's talking, decides to draw in the dirt. He uses what's around him to engage the people that he's speaking to. He's creative in the ways that he teaches. When Jesus heals, too, he sinks his hands again into the dust. He gets his hands dirty. He feels the dirt between his fingers, and then he recreates. When God formed us from the dirt he created, and Jesus recreates, heals, and nourishes us in all of the capacities that entails. And he does it with earth-clad hands. He's not afraid to enter into the messiness of our lives. Are we now seeing creativity as integral to God's character, integral to who God himself is? Do we see creativity as integral to who we are created to be? Part of being made in the image of God is being called to embrace God's creativity, to revel in what he has made and to become co-creators with him. It's a twofold call: to glorify God for his good creation and to let our creativity do the same. And we see generations in the past glorifying God in what they have created. We have painters, architects, musicians, writers, dancers, stained glass artists, everyday worshipers like you and I, who all saw who they were and what they did as art dedicated to the Lord. And we have remnants of this art all over the world. One of my favorite examples is Sainte-Chapelle's in Paris. I don't know if many of you have gotten to go, but it's this huge chapel, and it's filled floor to ceiling practically with stained glass. And it's purple and blue and yellow and gold. Every single surface is either covered in glass or it's painted stonework. There isn't a surface in this chapel that isn't colorful in some respects. And every single pane of glass tells the story of God with his people. It starts on the left-hand side with the Old Testament story, and it goes through the Exodus and the prophets and the kings up until the New Testament times on the far side behind the altar, where the passion scene is, Jesus' ministry and work and life and death and resurrection. That's above the altar. And then we turn to the right-hand side, and all of those panes of glass are filled with panes dedicated to the saints, the faithful people that have come since out their lives faithfully to the call of God. But those panes of glass on the left-hand side that talk about biblical kings or monarchs, that's where it's important. Sainte-Chapelle's used to be a royal chapel. This is where the kings and queens of France went to worship. And so as they're seated, I don't know if you can quite see it, there's what are niches or little cuts in the very bottom. They're kind of hard to point out because they're dark, but they're where the king and queen sit. And they face the left-hand side and the right-hand side, the very panes that talk about biblical royalty. So they're faced with these scenes that tell them how people in the past have been part of God's kingdom as a monarch. And then they're also faced on the right-hand side with people since Christ who have faithfully lived out their call in God's kingdom. That's why this chapel is important. It tells these royals what their vocation in life is, to live as faithful people. This is one pane of glass. It's David and Saul. Saul is knowing that he's going to give over the title of king to David. And eventually he submits to it. And with humility, David takes up the mantle of king. It's a call to humility and to stewardship. Here is why art is important. Art has the power to tell us who we are called to be as God's faithful people. Sainte-Chapelle's reminded French royalty what kind of monarch they were called to be, and our windows behind me remind us who we are called to be. With the kids, we looked at some of these panes and asked, what are some of these stories about? And they could name, that's when Jesus was born, or that's the lamb, that's the pelican, or that's Jesus's baptism. We're going to go through week after week and identify these stories as well. And before I begin, I'll go into a little bit of history because it's a little bit funny as well. Our north window was built with a twofold intention. One, to tell us the most important gospel stories in the Bible. And two, to keep the blaring sunlight out of our eyes. In 1958, there are historical records that say the parishioners, or the people sitting out here, complained of how bright it was come Sunday morning. They couldn't actually see anything. And so, After they tried all sorts of different things to solve this problem, they said, let's just create something beautiful then. And they made this window, and now you guys can all see come Sunday mornings. So thank the congregation from 1958 for your ability to not be blinded by sunlight in the mornings. So for the next 3 weeks, we're going to look at each story in turn from the center three window panes. From Jesus scattering the seeds and teaching people, to Jesus's baptism and ascension into heaven. And then on June 2nd, we will end with Jesus's healing ministry of wholeness. But today, we're looking at some lesser known symbolism, the three figures at the very top. Do we know what they are? The children named a few of them. There's a lamb, a pelican, and a Christ figure. I bet we probably know why at least two of them are on the window, the Christ and the lamb. Those are pretty two typical symbols, but the pelican is one that we don't talk about quite as much, so we'll get there eventually. But we'll start with the Christ figure at the very top in the center. He's in a position of benediction, one that you commonly see Joshua or I doing at the end of each Sunday service. But he's also in a stance of prayer. In medieval art, this figure would be called an orant, or one who is in prayer or earnest supplication on another's behalf. And it's fitting that this praying Christ figure is at the top of the window, for he prays for and on behalf of all the stories below him, for the suffering people, for those he hopes might hear him, for his own mission in the world. If Christ is at the top, praying over all, he shepherds us through this life, through the pain and the heartache, and through the joy. To the left of this figure is the lamb, which is another common symbol. But the lamb is also carrying a flag. Do we recognize the flag? Does it look familiar? Does anybody want to be really brave and tell me why you think it looks familiar? It's St. George's flag, which is also the flag of England. So we know it by that. But way back before England and St. George took on this flag, the white flag with a red cross symbolized victory. And it's awfully fitting that the lamb carries the flag of victory, isn't it? When we have the lamb carrying the flag of victory, we are reminded yet again of who Christ is. A suffering lamb who overcomes, who reigns victorious over evil, sin, and death. We get the two images that are most combined together, the lamb and victory. Later on, this flag becomes the emblem of the Crusades, which, if we remember our history, was a bloody, brutal, and forceful war to reclaim the Holy Land by pillaging, destroying, and destructing everything in its path. Sadly, today, neo-Nazi groups wave the exact same flag, thinking that racism, nationalism, and violence are condoned by a warrior-like savior. But that's not the model Christ set forth, is it? We don't even see the fierce lion waving the flag of victory, but a sacrificial lamb who never supported violence, but instead gave his own life to bring us peace. Something that very much so has a flag of victory over it. And this theme of sacrifice is evident again in the much lesser known symbol, the pelican. Perhaps one of my favorite images of this window because it's often overlooked. We see chicks gathered around the window necks outstretched, trying to gain some source of sustenance, as the pelican mother herself rips open her chest and lets the blood drip down on her children. Seems like a strange, even graphic image, doesn't it? This symbol comes from observing nature and from an ancient story. A pelican mother hatches a brood of chicks, nurturing them and supporting them until they grow up, on the top left. But once they're older, they begin to act violently, even attacking her. So she retaliates, putting them in their place by killing them, on the bottom left. But 3 days later, she mourns the loss of her children and opens up her own chest, the top right. As her blood drips down on them, they revive and live once more. Her death has brought them life. This story seems awfully similar to our own story, doesn't it? Brought into the world with care and compassion, the baby chicks, much like ourselves, quickly turn against the very one who sustains our life. And deservedly, we should die for our sins, just like the chicks. But Jesus, like the pelican mother, pierces his side and washes us in his blood, bringing us into life, even as his own ebbs away. It's not hard to see the parallels between the pelican and Jesus. The death we all deserve for evil actions was pardoned by Jesus. The blood that drips down from his wounded body has brought us life. The pelican, then, is a grand symbol of sacrifice, seen all over Christian iconography. This is the lectern at Durham Cathedral, reminding the people that it is because of Christ's sacrifice that we live. We are like the chicks, choking in the throes of death until Christ's sacrifice washes over us. John's account of the crucifixion tells us that the centurion, wanting to make sure Jesus was dead, pierced Jesus' side. And from his side flowed blood and water. The blood which saves us and the water that invites us into baptism, into remembering his sacrifice on the cross. For we are all people who have been saved by the blood and washed in the water. These images tell us who God is, a man who earnestly prays for and over us, a lamb who reigns victorious over evil, and a pelican who pierces her own side to save her beloved children. But these windows also tell us who we are called to be. Children who give glory to a sacrificial God, who creates, forms, names, sustains, and redeems us all. Art has the power to reactivate our imaginations and remind us of our primary identity, chosen and redeemed children of God. Art invites us into glory and invites us into glorifying the God who created all. Amen. Having reflected on the beauty that God creates and enables us to create, it seems only fitting to respond to his holiness. So let us stand and sing our next song, once the words are brought up, "Worship the Lord in the Beauty of Holiness."
Thank you.
Let us bow our heads in prayer for the world. Lord, as we pray for your world today, we ask that you help us become peacemakers in division, faithful stewards of your creation amidst widespread environmental ravaging, and compassionate friends in times of grief. We know that as your servants, we are called to be part of your healing ministry, bringing your light and love to a sometimes dark and heartless world. Give us the strength and courage to be your vessels, even when the job seems too big to handle. For with you, all things are possible. We thank you that the rebel Houthi group in Yemen has taken the first steps towards peace and have begun to leave Hodeidah. We pray that this is a sincere and lasting step towards regaining stability in a war-torn area of the world. Please let your peace infiltrate their ranks and spread across Yemen now. We continue to pray for the victims and their families of the attacks in Sri Lanka. So quickly do new catastrophes occur, older ones slide from our prayerful concern. But Lord, we know that terror and grief do not quickly subside. Be with those affected in Sri Lanka. May they feel your love and comfort. We pray for Ali Piri's family and all the bereaved families as they continue to mourn their loved one's loss. When grief and sadness seems to overwhelm, hold them in your sure embrace and let them know that they never walk alone. As we think about our own struggles and sufferings, we lift our prayers to you, Lord, asking for your help in the silence of our hearts. Lord, even as we cry out, you already hear us and know us. You already are working for our good. Lord, answer our prayers. And when the timing and the waiting discourage us, remind us that your timing, while not understood by us, is perfect. You answer our prayers by your will and give us what we need. We thank you that you hold us in your hands. Amen. As we reflect on the travesties and violences that ravage our world, it's easy to sink into divisions and factions. But let us always remember that God calls us to the same words of our next song: break not the circle of enabling love.
Thank you.
deliver the benediction, thank you to the slides people who switched back and forth to the PowerPoint. I hope all the pictures made it easier to follow along. And now receive the benediction. God is the great artist who calls us into glory to glorify him for what he has created. May we always follow in his footsteps and glorify him each day. Go in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit.